Good morning, everyone. It's Randy McLean at Waypoint. I'm delighted that you've taken a little bit of time to spend with me this morning. I would like to welcome all of the people from across the world, I guess, that are going to spend a few the next 30 to 40 minutes with us looking at what's coming up next and what we think you ought to be doing at the end of this. And I think some of the information is going to be interesting, and some of it's going to be different than what you've been hearing. So in any case, I hope that you do find it valuable. We have a lot of ground to cover, so I'm going to breeze through as quickly as I can, and we're going to talk about what's really going on because of the coronavirus. I'll spend a few minutes just setting the groundwork, and then we'll move on into what we what's going on out in the marketplace that we can see and what's going to happen next. First thing is that they, as you know, that situation has changed radically in a couple of months. We've got the highest unemployment rate since the Great Depression. In some areas, it's worse than the Great Depression. We've had more deaths so far than we had in Vietnam, and we were in Vietnam for 10 years, and this has only been going on for about 2 months, and the deaths have only been occurring in the last 6 weeks, so that's been very intensive. Although there's a lot of debate about the numbers and whether the numbers are accurate or not, and I have some opinions about that, but I'm willing to go with what they have right now because it's immaterial to what we're going to do next, and that's what's most important. So, and this thing is not over. The curve is still increasing, and we're going to have, it's going to continue going for a while, and there's going to be recurrences of this. Now, I've been tracking this since the middle of January, really January 25th. It really got on my radar. At that time, there were 1,500 cases worldwide, almost all of them in China, and about 50 deaths. In fact, it was less than both of those numbers on the 25th. On the 27th of January, I went to Walgreens because I thought that it might be important to get masks. And the gal told me that they were so completely sold out. People have been coming in and buying them all day. She didn't know when they were going to get more, and it looked like it, something had changed. I was a little bit surprised because I didn't expect that that this was well known at that time. And but obviously the preppers figured it out and got in there and got their stuff. Also, there was nothing left in sanitizer in Walgreens on that day. All of that was very surprising to me, but it gave me an idea that there was a lot of people thinking about this, and there was a lot of people that were thinking that there was going to have a significant impact because of it. Here's where we are on the curves right now. This goes back to the beginning of January when they started tracking them in this site, and you can see that it really took off in the middle of March, and we had some rapid acceleration. Now, if you're familiar with a bell curve, you know that it's going to bend over at the top, and we're starting to see that maybe it is for the U.S. We're starting to see a slight downward trend in the number of new cases. I know we don't know if we're close to the peak or just still going up the side, but it'll follow a bell curve, and we'll and so we still have increases in cases, but the good news is that the increases are getting smaller. So we're past the climbing part of the or the accelerating part of the curve on the left-hand side and going into something else. However, a lot of social distancing is happening and a lot of lockdowns are happening across the country. When we release that, we're going to get some recurrences on this. And the worst scenarios say that we're going to be seeing mini lockdowns and mini recurrences of this on a repeating basis for about up to about 20 months, and that depends very much on whether we get either herd immunity or a vaccine. And there's a possibility that the herd immunity is a lot higher than they think it is, and that would be very positive for us if that's the case. So we had rapid impact as of April 28th, last night, about midnight. We had about 3.1 million cases and 217,000 deaths worldwide, and in the U.S., it had passed a million cases and 58,000 deaths, or greater than 58,000 deaths. So this is a big, rapid onset. This all came on really suddenly, really changed the world for all of us, and changed the world for a lot of people that are highly vulnerable. Thinking back to what we should be doing, how we cope with this, the best analog that I can come up with is World War II. At that time, we had big disruptions in the workforce. We had a lot of people out of the workforce. We had industries switching production, switching their logistics chain, switching their priorities in rapid order in order to accommodate a greater good. The people's attitudes changed after this. It was a much, much different attitude about the way things were done and what people's priorities were before and after World War II. We also had hundreds of thousands of men come back from the war with no jobs to go to. And that caused a renaissance in distribution, in particular in manufacturing. A lot of them couldn't find jobs and made their own jobs by starting a lot of the companies that we're running today. And so this was a big shift in what happened in the country, in the workflow of the country, in the nature of the country. I'm asked whether this looks like the housing crisis, and my answer is no. The housing crisis was really brought on by a lot of foolish behavior on Wall Street, and they basically borrowed a lot of money against the future and made a lot of bets against a future that couldn't happen. They took the money and ran when it all fell apart. And in order for us to get it going again, the housing market had to been fixed, had to be fixed. And the financing and mortgage market behind that, really. And that meant that the repairs were in the hands of a very few people that were largely responsible for the problem. And it took a long time for that to shake out. This is not like that. So what's about to happen is this. There's going to be, like always with a big disruption, there's going to be a heavy reshuffling of the markets. Big companies are going to get small. Small companies are going to get big. Companies are going to disappear. New companies are going to emerge. And this is going to be accelerated. We have a normal process that happens, but it's going to get highly compressed. And in the next 12 months, there's going to be radical change in the way that business works and in your own market. If you're the leader in the market, if you're not careful, you won't be the leader in the market after this. If you want to be the leader in this market, you have an opportunity to do it in the next couple of months. And what you do today will have a huge impact on what happens with that. There's going to be the emergence of a new normal. The way that people live their lives, the way that business is done, the way that that business interact with each other is being changed, probably permanently. In this crisis. And so when we come out of this to the other end, what we're going to see is not the same world as we left a couple of months ago. So those radical changes in communication, interaction, the way sales is done, how what companies value, what people value, what your staff values is changing right now, has changed already. And a lot of things that we're looking at as being temporary while we get through this. Are actually precursors of what's about to become the norm. And so that's really important. And there's going to be a rapid recovery. People are talking about months, years, we'll never come back. That's just not true. There's going to be a very rapid recovery after this. And why is that? Because of this. I was at, this is Sally Beauty Supply at the strip mall, not too far from where I live. These guys are hanging on by their fingernails. And when I pulled up here to pick up a package from their curbside delivery, I got all misty. I just was amazed that there's a few gals in this place that are hanging on by their fingernails and are doing everything they can to make it work. And it's the entrepreneurship, the drive, the energy of tens of millions of small businesses. All of which want their jobs back, all of which want their businesses back, all of want to get back to a situation where they're financially and from a business standpoint comfortable. And unlike the housing crisis, every one of them is going to be doing this to bring their business back, and they're not going to wait around for the government to fix it, for the banks to fix it, for the mortgage companies to fix it. They're already doing what they can, and the minute there's a let up on the lockdown orders and whatnot. They're going to be putting everything they can into it. And this is the thing that's going to give us a rapid recovery. This also gives us the greatest opportunity in a half a century. This is the time when we get a chance to do a reset on what we do, a reset with our customers, a reset with our suppliers, a reset with our product lines, a reset with our banks, we're going to get a chance to reset everything. We don't have to live with logistics envelopes and traditional methodologies that we're getting increasingly dysfunctional in a technologically driven marketplace. We have a chance to reset that right now. So what happened after World War II? Well, first off, we had practically two decades of radical growth and prosperity coming out of that, all driven by that entrepreneurial drive of those millions of businesses that started during that time and were thinking of everything they could to deliver a better customer experience, deliver a product that the customer needed, to fill niches that had been unserved. And this is the kind of thing that's going to go on here. Consumers were forced into new paradigms during that time. Allocations on rubber, gasoline, so on and so forth, they changed the way that they lived their lives. And a lot of that hung on for a long time after World War II. And the labor market was reshuffled. We, for the first time, had a serious entry of women into the workforce. Two income families became, which were rare before World War II, became much more common. And the nature of the market changed in a big way because of that. And we're seeing that now with a reset on labor. So all of these elements are actually occurring to us right now or about to occur to us. And so it's up to us to capitalize on those things. So about the recovery, first, it's going to, like I said, be a lot more rapid than expected. But there is going to be timing or time phasing elements to the recovery because of the supply chain. Stuff that got shipped prior to the Lunar New Year out of China was on the ocean at the time that this all started and was arriving in the port of Los Angeles and other places for some time, for up to a month or more. And then that entered the distribution chain and the warehouses and whatnot. And so we had inventory increasing. But the amount that where China was shipping 110,000 containers a day prior to the Lunar New Year, it's almost nothing right now. And that means that the normal ocean transport and the product that would have arrived here in May isn't going to arrive because it never shipped in April. And so there's going to be interruption in the supply chain. Also, a lot of at the retail level, people were able to sell out their inventory. You were able to sell out a lot of your inventory, but the replenishment coming in behind that is going to be affected. And so there's going to be some issues with that. The critical issue that we're going to face coming out of this is going to be credit. The banks are already working to protect themselves as usual, and they're cranking down credit lines and credit limits. And this is going to cause a lot of difficulty for people to bootstrap back up. If you're a hairdresser and you haven't had any income for the last 6 weeks, you're in severe trouble. You probably maxed out your card, or if you haven't, you have very little left. And if you had a $1,500 limit on your credit card and you had $300 left on it that you could buy product with, and the bank suddenly gives you a $1,000 limit, you're done. You're going to have to find some way of being able to get the product to get the business back flowing again so that you can invest to drive revenue. And that's going to scale all the way up the economy as people think about what they have. Now, in distribution, we have something that's a replacement for cash, and that's inventory. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So as I said, there's going to be a reemergence of the of what we're going to see in the marketplace. The market has been kind of locked down, and we're going to start to see it emerge into something new. And so right now, our job is to lead into the new normal. So the first thing is, anybody that, in my view, in my opinion, anybody that's working really hard to get, quote, back to normal is going to be leading their company into the ditch. The world of January 2020 has gone and is gone for good. And the new world that's going to emerge isn't going to look like that. So if we're busy trying to get things back, and that's the core value that we're communicating to our people, you're going to be going a different direction than the crowd, and you're going to be like the generals that are always fighting the last war. It's going to be a new world on the other side, and that's what we need to be planning for. Customers have changed probably forever, and I'll talk about why that is in just a moment. And business processes have changed. That there are companies that just basically put blanket orders. We're not allowing anybody that doesn't work in our building in our building. That means salespeople have not been able to make face-to-face calls on those companies, and the companies are loving it. They're not anxious to go back to the point where they're going to have to waste a half an hour or an hour of their time with a sales call. They've been resisting that for years, and we just gave them a great excuse not to do it at this point, and a lot of them aren't going to do it anymore. A lot of your ordering is coming, there's very little face-to-face ordering going on. People aren't making contact. Even people that are in customer service face-to-face businesses are doing things so they don't have to handle credit cards, don't have to touch each other, or have isolation barriers and so on. It's really important right now as you're leading to reevaluate everything. Now, every company gets a benefit of having some new blood come into the company, because the benefit of it, the principal benefit of having new blood is somebody says, "Why do we do this? This doesn't seem to make any sense." And everybody around there says, "What are you talking about? We've always done it this way." And it's that questioning of what you're doing and is it the best thing you can do, rather than it being the default position, that gives companies a jump when they have somebody new coming in looking at what they're doing. It's your turn, your time to start questioning what you do. Start looking at the infrastructure you have, the order process you have, the fulfillment process, the warehouse organization, how you deliver. Time to say, can we do this better? Because coming out of the other side, if you do it better, you're going to have an advantage, because customers are going to be out looking for new suppliers, and they're going to be doing it for all kinds of reasons. And you want to have a better solution and provide a better customer experience to them on the other side than they had with the incumbent before. This is the time when those relationships are being shaken, and you have a great opportunity. They'll try you out. By the same token, your customers are going to be thinking the same thing, and you have to make sure that what they're seeing in you coming out of this is so much better than what they can get elsewhere that they don't want to go. So basically, you have to position your company for the world as it will be. Okay, so there's some things I want to recommend. The first thing is look outside. There's a lot of stuff going on out there that you can take advantage of. You can start looking at how it is that people are doing things. You can look at start gathering information about what's happening when you're buying your groceries. Are you doing it differently? I know a lot of people that are after years of the grocery companies trying to get them to do online ordering, they're starting to do online ordering and they're saying, "Hey, wow, this is pretty good. I don't think I'm going to go back to standing at line at the checkout anymore." And they've been resisting it because they didn't, they already had a way of doing things, but they've been forced to try something new and they like it better. Telepresence is changing things a lot. I was in a meeting yesterday with a what seemed to be a very sharp management team, and what was interesting is that we've been doing GoToMeeting and online meetings like this for more than a decade. But when we got into this, everybody had a webcam, and there was a comment made at the beginning where everybody was had been charged with making sure they were had a webcam and were using their webcam when they're doing meetings, and clearly they were doing meetings from home and other things like that. And they were using that the webcam to provide the sense of presence and the ability to judge reactions and whatnot in the meetings. I thought, wow, this is a different world. Now, many of you have been doing this for a long time, but there's a lot of companies that have resisted it. And telepresence is changing everything. We have a lot of sales forces that are now doing all of their meetings in that way. So this is forcing us off. Traditions and models have been in place for decades, have seemed normal to everybody, and it's a great opportunity to move on. Okay, one of the most important things that we should be doing right now, recognizing that business is different. In some cases, we're doing a lot of firefighting, but in other cases, we got a lot more slack than we'd like to have. Now, that doesn't happen in all of our clients. We have clients that are in industries that have that are being dramatically changed right now, and they're run off their feet. They just they can't even fill the orders. But most of the clients are on the other end of the spectrum, where their clients are shut down, their customers are shut down, their customers' customers are shut down, and the flow has really dropped off radically. And this is an opportune time to get some of those projects done that you've always wanted to do, but you've always been so distracted by the day-to-day and dumpster fires that come up that prevent you from getting it. So one of the activities should be gathering intelligence. And you need to go into full-on intelligence gathering. Pardon the typo. You should be looking to your staff. What are they seeing? What are they seeing? The things that could be adopted. What kinds of things are going on right now that customers would benefit from? That the customers like. That the customers are demanding. What's going on with your staff around the building? How are they operating? How are they? What are they doing with social distancing and other things like that? What are they planning to do when they come back to work if they're furloughed right now? And you should be, of course, looking at your customers saying, as this thing emerges and we start coming out of lockdown, what are you going to need from us? Now, how can we be there when you're ready to go so that we're ready to go as well? And you should be watching other industries because there's a lot of innovation going on out there. And, what Procter and Gamble does or what Bob's Plumbing does might be the spark of an idea that could put you ahead. So be observant and, about what's going on and start to recognize it for what it is, opportunities for you to adopt and adapt things for your business. So we want to plan now, want to anticipate the emergence and be ready for it. As Wayne Gretzky said, his advantage in hockey was he always skated where the puck was going, not where it was at the time. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to understand where the puck's going. Now is the time to develop new business models, and this is very important. The solution to a lot of the issues that we're facing today, because of the lockdowns and the environment, and that we faced in chronically dysfunctional, underperforming segments of our businesses for decades, are inadequate business models for those segments or for what's going on. If we don't have a good business model, we're not in a good match. Customers want something and we don't have it. Customers want something done in a certain way and we don't offer it. And so these business models are very important. But developing a business model on the fly is kind of difficult. It's easy to miss something that will prevent it from operating properly, and those things are not always so obvious. So one of the things, takeaways, we're going to send you a link in the follow-up email. Every executive, everybody that wants to be an executive should have a copy of this book. Now, this is Business Model Generation, written by a couple of PhDs in Switzerland. That's been around for quite a while. It's a neat, nice cartoony book, easy to read, but it has one of the most powerful business levels, lessons that I've ever received in it. It changed my world, and has changed the worlds of many of our clients. By having an understanding of this, it's about 25 books on Amazon. You can get it in a couple of days. It's really easy to read and understand. But taking the techniques in this book and sitting down with your brain trust, you can solve any dysfunctional part of your business or make an intelligent, properly formulated decision to get into it further or get out of it altogether by spending a couple of hours just going through the brainstorming session that's outlined in this book. You can use it for your entire business, and you can use it for your service department, your rental division, your parts business, your delivery models, your e-commerce. It lays out, and basically, in a nutshell, now there's nine elements for a functional business model. Who are the customers? What do they want? What do you have that fills those needs? How do you communicate it? What do you need to have in order to be able to do that? What are the critical partners you need? What is the cost structure that's associated with it, and how do you monetize it? If you answer all of that's eight of the nine. If you answer all nine of the blocks that are in there and have a proper answer, the business will function. It will be profitable. Have low levels of customer service issues. Will be something that is easy to grow into the future. So highly recommend it. Okay, now the only self-serving part of this is because we happen to be in an opportune place. You need to analyze. You need to know exactly what's going on in your business. Right now, you have to identify your most efficient customer relationships because they matter. They're the ones where you can produce the most cash flow for the least amount of expenses. And that's what you need in a critical time. And that's the, those are the relationships you need to preserve. Those are very, very difficult to identify. You have to analyze the numbers. You can't guess and you can't use your gut because it doesn't tell you enough about what's going on. You have big customers that are very profitable. You have small, you have big customers that are very unprofitable, and small customers are very profitable because of the nature of their relationship and how they order from you and what they order. These things matter. And you need to dig in and find out what these are, because these are the relationships when you're forced to make choices. I can't do everything for everybody. I can only do things for some people. You definitely want to make sure that those are the that you're investing whatever resources you have and whatever finite time and energy and personnel you have in companies that give you a return rather than companies that drain your cash. And so you need to know what they are. You need to identify the critical opportunities, and that's going to come from that brainstorming, the intelligence, meeting with your staff, looking at the business models, and more importantly, the intelligence gathering, finding out what the market wants and what it's going to want, and where they think they're going to be a month and 2 months and 3 months from now. So you're going to identify those. And then at the time that it comes up, you have to have already finished your business model planning. You should already say, hey, we have a new delivery model. We have a and we're communicating it out to our clients or to our customers so they know what that it's available and they can take advantage of it, so that they have so they know that you're the guy, you're the company with the stuff that they need, and you've thought out the things that they want to make their business work the way they want it to work and the relationship to work. And then above all, you've got to protect, preserve, and grow cash. We'll talk in a moment, but in some cases, your inventory is a working substitute for cash. And so that'll be important. And then be ready for tight credit. If you've been living in your credit line all the way up through, even through the good times, you got to keep your ear to the ground, because if they crank that back, it's going to affect you. They could change the rules and put you out of covenant in a heartbeat, and then you're going to be scrambling for that. Your customers are also going to have tight credit issues, and so that's going to affect what happens with them as well, and you may have to work together with some of them to make it work. Okay, so here's what's going on. Consumer attitudes are changing. The public is much, much more conscious of sanitation. The social acceptability of masks is coming on. For most people, it seemed weird to be wearing a mask a couple of months ago. Now it's the law in some places. There's a lot more home cooking going on. Almost nobody's going to restaurants. And home cooking is pretty good and not as hard as a little less of a chore than people think. I think that some of that change is becoming come permanent. Companies are much more family oriented in terms of staying home and thinking of activities they could do at home. Everybody's streaming movies on Netflix and finding ways of keeping their lives filled and interesting. And a lot of those habits are going to stick. Online ordering and pickup, home delivery has had an unbelievable jump. The grocery stores have been trying to get us to order online and get and delivery grocery to us for a couple of decades, with very limited success. Now all of a sudden, if we try and place an online order, you'll be lucky if you can get a delivery slot within a week, around these parts. And it turns out that going online, ordering your groceries, and then just driving up to a slot, popping your trunk open, and having somebody fill your trunk and drive away is something that people like a lot. And so that's going to shift. Teleeducation is going on. The schools are figuring out how to do that. And if they get good at it, it's going to change the nature of how education goes. There's been a serious reduction in commuting. When I had to go on the road a little while ago, it was 4:30 rush hour, and the amount of traffic on the road looked like 2 a.m. going up to place I needed to go to. And that means a big shift in the need for particular transport infrastructure. It affects public transport as well as private transportation. And companies that have been resistant to telecommuting in the past are now finding it's not so bad. And there's some great benefits in doing it in terms of how much infrastructure you have to support a certain number of personnel if they're all buying their own desks and sitting in their own offices and paying their own utilities. So that changes the nature of your business and your cost structure as well. If you don't know, when you register your vehicle that you use for driving to work, if you don't use it for driving to work, you can insure it as a pleasure vehicle. And it cuts the cost of the car insurance by more than half. And so that's a huge benefit for employees that don't have to drive in every day. And that's real money that has a real impact on your staff. There's going to be a backlash against China over all of this. So part of your supply chain comes out of China. You should be preparing alternatives for that because there's going to be a lot of barking about China being the bad guys and people not wanting to support them. And it won't matter what the politicians want to do. The public is going to have its own opinion and they're going to drive that. Meanwhile, India sends the opportunity and they've got a full court press getting companies to move out of China and to India. And they report that they've had nearly 1,000 companies so far that have moved from China to India. And so India has a lot of the underlying dynamics that made China a successful partner in the past. And it may be that Made in India becomes a real big deal. The pharmaceutical companies have long since done that. Almost everything's coming out of India right now that's not coming out of China. And the other industries are following suit. Okay, business activities. Telesales, video conferencing. I talked about the reduction in office space. Education and consulting is going to be largely done in this way in the future. Frankly, your customers aren't going to want people in their buildings for a while and maybe ever. So you're going to have to master the technology to be able to get in electronically rather than in person. There's going to be big innovations in contract delivery. I think there's going to be the emergency of the equivalent of Uber for delivering product from us to our customers. And some companies will set that up on their own. Sooner or later, there'll be a big player that's monetized and does it. But there's no reason that that model can't work for your deliveries for a completely flexible delivery capability. Pardon me. Operating hours are changing. Respond to the issues with social distancing, particularly with public transit, a lot of companies are shifting the working hours for their people. So they have them coming in and starting at 4 in the morning when they can get on a bus with nobody else on it. And then they can go home at 2 when they also got on a bus with no one else on it. And so these kinds of things are starting to happen. The governments are going to figure this out. They're going to realize that they're going to be able to smooth road traffic and make better use of their roads and road funds if they can stretch out the rush hour a greater deal. And I expect there'll probably be tax breaks associated with that. Also, in a lot of jurisdictions, a lot of places, utility rates change depending on the hour of the day. And if your business is operating at a low utility time, you may wind up saving substantial funds on your energy. Okay, business activities. New models are supporting the changes in consumer behavior. The business models are going to need to anticipate the possibility of periodic lockdowns. We need to consider supply chain resiliency, which I talked about already, and disease prevention is going to be a part of our business model into the future. The government, there's going to be some opportunities for us with the government, not so much in what they do, but more in terms of what they need. They're going to be buying up PPE reserves. They got caught with their pants down this time. They're going to be making sure that doesn't happen again. Mobile emergency facilities are going to be something that they have to put in place and stockpile and restock and replace. They're going to need a surge capacity for medical and a new emphasis on emergency planning and data collection. So there's going to be opportunities in all these areas in providing services and products and resources to the government. In terms of what the government is going to do, they'll be mostly late and wrong on the stuff. So I'm not counting too much on it. I think somebody had once said, I think Winston Churchill had said that the government always does the right thing, but not before exhausting every other possibility. And so I think we're going to see more of that, and certainly describes a lot of what's happening lately. Society is going to change. Social distancing is going to become the norm. I don't know. There's going to be so much handshaking after this. Handshaking, hugging are probably going to go out the window for at least a while and maybe forever. Disease prevention measures are going to be important. The backlash is going to be with us. Disease identification and testing is going to become more a regular part of our lives, and that may give us opportunities. And but at least we can be aware of it because we might be participating in some of that. And data collection and dissemination is going to have to get a lot better than it's been. Okay, so to wrap up, I just want to say, get going today. Use your downtime wisely. Don't just be working with dumpster fires. Be planning to be where the puck's going to be at the end of this thing, which is likely to be into the third quarter, certainly by the fourth quarter. But I think that by the time we get into and past Labor Day, we're already going to be well into recovery, and things are going to be shifting gears rapidly. We're going to see more business in summer than we normally do because a lot of people are just not going to be taking vacations. They've got to make this thing back up. So if you're used to a low ebb in your business in the summer because the activity goes down, you're probably going to find that summer activity just got shifted back into where we are right now, and people are going to be going back at it with a vengeance. Make sure you have new business models for the places that are dysfunctional in your business, and particularly where you're going to be making all your money coming out of this. So get the book, and we'll send you the link for this thing. So that's it for today. I want to just thank you for spending some time and hearing what I have to say. I really do hope that some of these things are going to be useful for you going forward, and it's going to make a difference to your success in the third quarter, the fourth quarter. Hope you're going to be able to make back some of what you lost through the fulfillment of pent-up demand that has been caused by this. We'll get some of it back, not all of it, I'm sure, but it should be good. So I want to leave you with that. I want to thank you for your time, and I'm looking forward to our conversations that we have going forward.